Oh, what's going on? New year, same me. That's right. Rod is back for last week on Keeping the Girl, but I'm not by myself.
No, he's not. I'm here too.
That's right. It's a very special New Year's tradition that we just started for the first time today. It's the Rod and Karen last week wrap up on Keeping the Girl.
Yes.
2021. Did anything happen? Did we miss anything?
I don't know. Did we?
It's been a pretty quiet 3 weeks, right? I mean, listen, we're going to get into it, guys. All right. Now, I'm not going to be as offensive in 2021. I'm starting off with New Year's resolution.
Why are you lying to the people?
I'm not going to offend the sensibilities of the cucks.
No.
The libtards or whatever else we're calling people these days. Because I've seen the error of my ways. You know, ever since the Capitol was stormed, I said, you know what? This is on me. I got to dial it back a little bit so we can have some healing. And in the
spirit, are you offending them?
I think I offended too many people.
Okay.
I think that's what happens when you just turn it to the red. And now I know. So it's like we all learned a lesson and we should just move on and not blame anybody.
Okay.
Speaking of which, moving on, we have some very special guests here. Mm-hmm. I would even go to say the guest we can't do this show without.
Yeah, the star of the show.
I would go that far, Karen, honestly. I feel like without them, it'd just be last week. It's Keith. And the girl, aka Keith and Hemda. What's going on, y'all?
Hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
And hey, in the spirit of turning over a new leaf, keep it going. How was your time off?
Oh, snap.
Well, you know, it's so funny because I said Happy New Year, and then I was like, did Keith's camera freeze? No, that's how he expresses excitement. He's just like, oh, yeah, Happy New Year. And it's like, wow, Keith, you just really got psyched. Amazing. New Year, the little break that we had, honestly, I thought I would be more productive. And I am very satisfied with the production level anyway, because apparently I needed a nap.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that happened to me a couple times over the break. There were times where I just was like, what the fuck was that? Oh, a nap.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was. Oh, I just thought I missed 6 hours of time.
No.
Throughout the day or some shit.
You know what? Y'all, welcome to the club, because they pick at me. I am the nap queen. You leave me alone by myself long enough, I will take a nap. No hands down, bitch. I'm old. I get tired. You have to rest.
Aggressive naps, apparently.
Yes. I love me a nap. I'll wrestle it down if I got to.
And what about you, Keith?
No hands down. I also enjoy a good nap. You know that turn of phrase. What did I do? I didn't do as much, and that felt good. As discussed, I enjoyed. I figured I would just watch some TV and be lazy. Wonder Woman, Karate Kid, you know. Mm. And that riled me up again until we were back.
Yeah. Sorry to hear about that Wonder Woman thing. I watched it as well.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Just so you know, like during the break, you know, like we said, we're not doing as much, but I still see the charges coming in for the newspapers daily. Mm-hmm. He cannot miss it. I can hear the tearing of little articles from a mile away from my home. And, you know, and at the end of every break, he comes in, and now we have to do it on video, but he shows me the stack of papers and then like raises them high above the table and then drops them so you can hear the fat. That's how many notes. And he'll always get a text from me before we start like our first show, like, ready to have a great 1 hour only show. Here we go.
Well, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
Nope,
apparently.
Always be prepared.
Okay. Well, news never stops, and neither does our, you know, our last week recaps. Okay. There's a lot of stuff y'all did.
Yes, it is.
Okay. In addition to the regular, like, 4 or 5 episodes in the week, y'all were guest on shows.
Yes.
Y'all had spinoff shows. Mm-hmm.
Playing poker.
Y'all were playing poker. Y'all were in these streets, metaphorically, virtually.
So was it really a break?
So it's like, I mean, I'm sure behind the scenes, y'all have been planning the marathon. I feel like, you know, for us in Keith and the Girl listener land, it's like, oh, they didn't do anything for 3 weeks. But in real life, it's like, y'all probably had like a week off, and then there maybe that throughout those 21 days or whatever.
Secrets of the trade. We still did have Keith and the Girl meetings every week, but we were allowed pizza.
Yay!
That's how they get you.
My favorite food.
That's how you get a Ghost Gym membership. That's how they trick you.
That's how they get you to sign up.
It's true. Well, I do remember like signing up to the gym with Keith, and it was like bagel day or something. And we're like, we came in here to escape that. What the fuck?
That defeats the purpose.
It's like, now I go to the gym once a month on pizza day.
Yes, it's like, that's the trick. We give you this, so you have to stay.
Look, yeah, it's when's only $10 cake day? A month. $10 a month and you get unlimited pizza? I mean, come on. You can't beat that. Yeah. Of course, my rhetorical question of the week, I'm still continuing that tradition. This week's rhetorical question is, who do you think you're fucking with? Exactly. Let's get into these shows. These are some great shows, okay?
They were.
I feel like they're always great, but I feel like I finally landed on a week where there's a guest that I'm like, oh, we gonna talk some shit. You know, like, I feel like I always get the week. Karen gets the weeks where it's like, I'm just like envious where I'm listening like, oh, this guy. But then I always get like, oh, no, that person's a sweetheart. I love them. I love when they're on the show. But finally, it's my turn. But we're not going to start there. We're going to start at episode 3357, Treating You Like Family. Where did the title of this episode come from?
What did we talk about?
Tyson's Treating You Like Family, the commercial.
Oh, yeah.
The chicken. Is that where it came from?
It was inspired by that, and then we kind of match it to other parts of the show to convince the other person that that's a good title.
Okay, that's like I listened. And I was like, I don't. It was probably over my head. It was too deep. I gotta go back and re-listen. I missed it somehow. Kevin Spacey does creepy Christmas messages. This is the new tradition. How long is he gonna keep this up?
He needs to stop.
Do you feel like he's treating you like family?
Hopefully not.
No, I don't. Right? I don't.
Well, you know what? Actually, with him, treat me like family. Don't treat me like a stranger. I don't think you got a pretty bad reputation with these people you don't know, buddy. But yeah, I just keep imagining him being like we'll be like year 19 of him doing creepy
annual tradition,
creepy Christmas.
I'm back again.
It's the car we none of us want, you know.
Like when he leaves another creepy message and somebody goes, love you, miss you. Does he feel good? Or is he like, that person's obviously very stupid. It doesn't feel good.
Does he like script this out? Like when does he start working on it? Like, is it in November? He's like, is it like Keith stand up where he's like, gotta work on my Christmas message.
It'll come to me slowly throughout the year. And then it's 2 weeks until it's Christmas. I gotta find a creepy park, you know?
Hello. Hey, you miss me? Anything going on out there? It's like, oh God, no. Jewish Christmas sounds so dope. I did not realize I've been celebrating Jewish Christmas for a few years now.
Chinese food?
Well, okay. Most of the time, sometimes Chinese food, but it's mostly my mom going, I don't want to cook. Mm-mm. And let's just go out to eat, which is like, what I've always wanted.
That has been so much fun because we be like going to like the Mexican places, drinking margaritas and getting drunk, and we just be having a ball.
It's so
and
much
no
better.
Dishes. No dishes.
No family fights. Like it's you're just out and you're having a good time and you don't have to cook, you don't have to clean, and you go home and it's the best.
I think the Jewish Christmas Chinese food thing, if I'm guessing right, it used to be that nothing was open in New York on Christmas except for Chinese people. Their supermarkets were open. Their food places were open. They were like, we don't give a fuck what day it is. They were always open. Plus, like Jewish people here love Chinese food. I got to say, we didn't eat much out when we were growing up because my mother didn't want she wanted everything like fresh. Like I got to make it for you. We got to know the ingredients in there. And plus like the kosher thing. But Chinese food was one of the places that we went out to. I don't know what the obsession is.
You know, I actually they had an article about that and I read about it and they were saying that it was the closest to kosher that most of you guys knew. And even if it wasn't 100%, everybody was like, close enough. You're the only thing open. Like, right.
Oh, or maybe it is the kosher thing because they don't have dairy in their food.
No, they
and
don't.
You can't mix meat and dairy, so it's a little easier to be kosher. Keith, was there a Chinese food restaurant at all in your town?
Yes, but I did know about it.
Mm. How did you?
Because we never went there.
Oh, and like you didn't kind of stumble on it in the neighborhood or something?
No. Like we never went to the one good pizza place, so I didn't know of it until I was out of the house.
I feel like the Chinese food in Keith's old town is like spaghetti noodles and they call it lo mein. You know, y'all ever been to one of those places where you're like, you fucking tricked me. This is not Chinese food. Mm-hmm. This
you
is
put
some
ketchup
bullshit.
And noodles on this and called it Thai. How dare you?
Yeah.
That's kind of like the diner over here. When you order their lasagna, it tastes like Greek meat with some cheese and sauce because the ground beef is clearly made more for the Greek dishes than the lasagna or any Italian or other dishes. So it's like, this is a very Greek lasagna mix.
Yeah, you can see it on the menu because it'll be like spaghetti, lo mein, or pad thai. And you're like, a person who knows how to make all three of those things doesn't exist. Mm-mm. They don't know how to make all three of those things good.
Come on.
Yeah.
No.
Kirk Cameron is doing COVID carols. And the thing I kept wondering with him is like,
how does he treat his family?
Well, obviously.
Yeah, that's a very good
like
question.
Like Tyson's, hopefully, but not Mike Tyson. But why does he have people that go with him? Like, I understand one person being crazy, but he's Kirk Cameron. He's not like, it's not like if, hey, Keith, Kirk Cameron's down at the corner store. Oh, fuck, I got to go. You know, it's Kirk Cameron. Everyone should be just like, oh, no, I'm not going to get COVID.
I don't know. How did they get so many people to storm the Capitol?
That's what I'm saying. If you told me Kirk Cameron was leading, I'd be like, God damn, Kirk Cameron?
Did not see that coming.
You don't got to get elected or nothing? That's not like a application?
I'll tell you what, anyone who has said God bless as a threat would go storm the Capitol next time. It's all like, when you see the threads of, you know, the Republicans against Democrats, you know which thread is leaning when they go, God bless. We should have the right to all our guns. I don't understand what the fuck this Democratic Party is. And God bless. Jesus bless. Jesus loves you. Yeah. You should burn in hell. Jesus, God bless.
Yeah, I can't even, have a flag up now because it means something different. I don't know if things will change on January 21st or not. But now, I have my flags away.
Do people are they excited to find out like Kirk Cameron's on their side? Like we got one.
I think so.
Good question.
You know, they got all the good ones, like Beyonce and fucking Taylor Swift and all the famous,
all the cool ones,
all the famous cool celebrities that people buy tickets to see. And then it's like, but we got fucking Kirk Cameron, bitch. What are you cucks going to do now when you come walking down the street?
Jealous, ain't ya?
Christmas carols, not holiday songs. Christmas carols in your motherfucking face with no mask, praying COVID all over this bitch with Kirk Cameron. Like, it's like,
nobody asked for that.
Why are you excited about that?
And they say it with confidence because they know they have Candace Cameron too. You got to know that's like a God bless as well.
I don't even know who Candace is. That a real person or did you make them up?
That's his sister and one of the kids on Full House.
Wow. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I know everything.
The Camerons keep a job, apparently.
Apparently they do.
The Pope is sending likes of support on Instagram. And I, as another person that sends likes of support, to encourage my people to, to feel good about themselves.
Yeah, apparently
feel
y'all good. Into the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I encourage them for me to feel good. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's just letting them know, you're on the right track,
That's like saying God bless.
It really is, honestly.
Yes. Making me think about y'all talking about Pat Robertson on this episode. Is that man 1,000 years old? And how old do you want to live? Because he I guess he picked his age and apparently the date ain't came yet. I don't understand.
That motherfucker has been old
born. He was 85 when I was born. I don't understand this. How old is that man?
He the Morgan Freeman of bigotry. He was, when I was 10, I was that's an old man.
Yes.
I'm 42 now.
My whole life, I was he old.
Why can't he die? Why does hate continue to pump people's hearts? And all these other people died of COVID this year. Like, good people died. Chadwick Boseman is dead. This motherfucker is still on TV like, yeah, man, still hate the gays. So just, I'll be back tomorrow. Someone go get my oxygen tank.
I remember my dad seeing Pat Robertson on TV when I would watch it sometimes. That was entertainment. And my dad would be like, he wouldn't let me watch it after a certain point. 700, was that 700 Club?
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, this guy's full of it. And I'd be like, really? Where's the line?
Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask you, Keith, if this person was the kind of person that your neighborhood was like into, sort of a celebrity of faith or something. It's surprising that your dad is like not this guy.
It'd probably be exciting for the town if he visited. Pat's, by the way, 90 years old now.
90.
I knew he had to be old because I was like, when I was born, I was like, that nigga old and he's still around.
Every day someone dies, it's not him. I just look at the paper like, for real? Like, we just losing all these motherfucking, like, cool celebrities and shit. Yeah. Even the not cool celebrities.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take Sean Connery's wife beating ass back. If we can get rid of this motherfucker, he's so evil.
It's like death walking right beside him going, any day now. And he's like, nope, not today.
You know, he sleeps in, like, you know, those packing peanuts and stuff. He doesn't go anywhere. That's how you feel. He's not, you know, people go, tomorrow you can be hit by a bus. He can't.
He rises from his coffin every morning. Your dad is buying land, Keith.
He's in the tornadoes, and then he goes back into his coffin.
Gay people caused all of this. I'm good for the day. Time to take a nap. He's a nap king.
Yeah, he loves
that. Your dad is buying land, but wasn't he supposed to be dead 3 months ago in the leaves? Why would he even have been planning this purchase? He promised to die in October.
Well, he's thinking about, is he going to sell his property? So he's not buying new land. But yes, he was. He did see that he was going to die in October. He didn't, of course. Pat Robertson-esque, you have to keep changing the end of the world. Now it's going to be in the summer. And you ask, well, why the summer now? Right. So that's where we're at.
I just felt like he was, you know, these are a lot of plans for a man that was... Yeah. Dead. And 90 days ago, he was dead.
And the thing, listening to you talk about your dad, I was like, oh my gosh, Keith has a drama queen daddy.
Yes.
It was like, anything to cause drama, your daddy is all about it. And I'm like, what is wrong with this man?
I want a game show out of the thing that he did, where he took the kids and pit them against each other. That could be like its own, like, get Steve Harvey to host it.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
We got us a hit.
It'd be like, and survey says?
Yes. Who's getting the inheritance now, you know?
But he knew like, okay, I'm not getting attention. How about tell me who wants the house and the property? That'll give me attention. And he keeps checking his computer.
Nothing.
In Mission Impossible, you know how they leave the message and they're like, you got this much time to respond. Mm-hmm. Or else, you know, this shit's going to blow up. I feel like that's what he did to your family. He's like, y'all got till midnight to come get this land.
Or was he treating them like family? Also, he might feel...
it all adds up.
He might be feeling very lonely because it used to be that you called the house. They still had a landline. You called the house or you called mom's phone, but they use each other's phones like it's their own. So now no one's calling him. He can't pick up your phone by accident. He always, you know, like a lot of fathers, you know, we're calling for mom. You're making weird chit chat, but eventually it's like, hey, I don't know how to say this. Is mom home?
Yeah. Well, mom is in a home, according to him.
And he reaches, he's like, okay, no response to the property. Your mom's in a home and fell down again. Anybody curious? Hello?
He tells the story like it's a lie.
Yes, he does.
You know, like, it's not like you have to discover it's a lie. He tells it to you like he's making it up, even if it did happen. It's like oh, a gash. It's like he starts it like how a mystery novel.
He plays he plays two truths and a lie always. That's just life. When you say, which game show is it? It's this. Which email has how much of truth? And you're supposed to guess percentage, and whoever gets closest, but not over, wins.
Yeah. Yeah. He starts in the middle of the lie. It's like, so I guess no one's concerned that your mom hit her head. And you're like, what the fuck? You were talking about selling land.
Yeah, how do we get here? It's like we're playing Where in the World is My Mom? Like, just let us know. Where is she, Dad?
I will keep your mom safe if you answer these three riddles over the course of 2.5 weeks.
Blooming Bush Oriental. Wait, oh, go ahead, Keith. I'm sorry.
You could have saved her.
Yes. It's your fault.
Blooming Bush Oriental Farms is a bunch of shit your dad has never been. All of them.
He hasn't been blooming.
Yeah, every word is just, why did he come up with it?
He knew he was always going to start some kind of flower and plant company, apparently. Never heard of it, but okay. And he was thinking of the name Blooming Bush Oriental?
Yeah. Or
whatever, farms. And he was thinking about this name supposedly since the seminary when he's in his 20s. Like, he had this dream forever before he met somebody that was going to give him free plants, supposedly. He just knew this would be his thing.
This sounds like a Mrs. Doubtfire kind of name. Like, a blooming bush, what the fuck is that? Oriental rug.
Looking at things.
But the story always was always he was into Howling Oak Studios and had that name forever. Even though he said he got it because the oaks made a howling sound when the wind came in our backyard. But with that said, even before that, he knew he would call it the Howling Oaks. So he has a lot of plans for a lot of names, supposedly. But again, none of it's true.
He also
blooming whatever the fuck in his 20s.
I think he thinks he's a poet.
Yeah,
like these, you know, as it goes through the wind and makes a sound that utters the phrase crunch on a leaf. October, my death date, if not June, and I get one more try after that.
Well, this is him giving hints of how you can win the property, right? Ooh, the name, use your mind. Being with my dad is being in a lifetime escape room.
Yeah, it sounds like Blooming Bush Oriental Farm sounds like they sell lo mein that is spaghetti, you know?
Yes,
like,
they do.
Like, okay, this is when we showed up here, nothing was as advertised. Who is this white man running this place?
We would definitely have a gift shop.
Listen, if you're getting a no strings attached $25,000 to start off, you should have a gift shop, you know? I mean, now I don't think there's ever been a such thing as $25,000 with no strings attached. Mm-hmm. I think all amounts of that much should have some strings.
Yes, I have somewhere. Waved the ladies. Thank you for asking, Roderick.
Well, then there's some strings attached then to that thing, okay?
Now he's planning on moving in to my mom's old age home. He'd be on another floor. And his plan, and he says, like, he only has money for so much, but then keeps saying how he's going to die soon. Mm-hmm. So he won't be a burden. He hopes he dies soon. He doesn't want mom to die first.
You guys have so much in common.
He's going to keep the money going, right? I do too. He's going to keep but for her, she might need more money after whatever he allotted. So he's going to still do insurance, he says. And this time, at 81, he's going to buckle down and, you know, uses the calculator. I can make this much and that much. And it just hit me talking to my brother the other day that I guarantee being in an old age home is where he's going to try insurance. And within 2 hours, the staff will have to pull him aside and go, you can't be doing this.
Right.
I guarantee he's adding, if only 60% of the dying hair get life insurance and they're all dying. That is the name of the house.
You can't do that here, sir.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Oh my God. He's moving in because he wants to get those people as clients or whatever he calls them. Friends. Oh my God. This is just like Breaking Bad when Jesse went to the NA meetings to try to recruit, and boom, what happened? It backfired because his friends got clean for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. He's going to be selling Blumenbush Oriental Insurance up in there. And those people are going to be like, I don't even know who am I giving the money to?
I don't understand. Is it overseas?
Do I pay you in U.S. dollars? What is happening?
I pay you in yen. I don't get it.
But Keith, for most of your...
A handshake in your Jello is ample payment.
No strings attached.
Right.
But he's been talking about life insurance for a long time as if he really works trying to sell that. But he never made cold calls, and that's how you get the business and whatever. But
people was never my thing.
Right. But he's been doing it for a couple decades. I remember him trying to sell me life insurance. He tried to sell you life insurance. At this point, when he dies, if you guys don't get a settlement and amongst yourselves, splitting it in five ways, if you guys don't get $1 million to split five ways, right?
Well, he also put in one of these recent letters about him putting all this money into the old age home, and he says, and I think she deserves it because, and then starts to say the because as if it's not a fact. Yeah, no shit, that's what you spend your money on now. He's like, but I'll tell you why, because although I have made a significant amount of money for the family, she has been there during a tough moment. Like there was one rough weekend and mom stepped up and did extra haircuts that day at the salon. And so because of that, I will never forget. Yes, I made some wise investments, but without the money to begin the investment from your mother, I can't say I would be here with my riches. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what these investments are. How about these investments that were so good? You tell your kids about it.
Right.
Right.
But it never happened. So he can't.
I feel like when he dies in his will, he's going to have one last test, one last trick. And it's going to be like, as you guys know, I died without life insurance and left you all penniless. But the real thing is none of you tried to ever sell me life insurance, which is the lesson I tried to teach you your whole lives. You weren't listening.
Or that's his way of going like, see what happens when someone dies and they don't have life insurance. How do you guys feel now? You don't want your loved ones to feel that way, do you? Lesson learned. Thank you from the grave.
You always have to learn a lesson the hard way.
Because I don't know how to do anything.
Please pay this lawyer who was reading this.
And then the lawyer looks at us and we're like, do we have to pay you?
Can we pay you in corn?
Give some kind of like puzzle, like to find out of the inheritance. The big oak who talks in the morning at the local park has something to say, and I'll be there with his like when he's in his coffin, and just have the note and just throw it on his body and whisper to him, "No, I'm not going to the park and find the oak tree that talks."
Do you know what? I can honestly see him having a stipulation for each and every one of you, something major that he doesn't like about your life. Like, Keith, if you want this money, no more show with that Jew. Mark, if you want your money, no more gay shit. You know, like shit like that, like just going down the line, because we could name something that he hates about your lives. Maybe not Mike, because he's like pretty chill, but...
There's always something.
Yeah. Although like being gay is not chill.
I heard you're pretty lit, actually.
Yeah. Only girls. Okay, dude, sounds like somebody has some stress.
According to stats and statistics, they have more fun than the straights do.
Yeah, and the eye test. We've all seen the Pride Parade.
We've seen the color schemes.
It's way better than any of our shit.
He also makes up what somebody's problem is. Like he talked, like Ken just moved from one place to another. And then my dad wrote, I hope you're getting rid of some things. You always had the hoarding tendency, but you'll find during a fire. No one knows what the fuck you're talking about. Ken is never a hoarder. Where did this come from? Oh, well. Oh,
my God.
Even right back and go, this isn't true. Knowing you were born a dog. What? I'm not a dog. No, son, you are not a dog.
You are going to miss him so much. Yeah.
For the material. Yeah, creating and solving his own problems.
I mean, listen, the guys, give him what, you got to give him his due.
Comedic genius.
He's a lot of material.
Yes, he is.
I wouldn't say he's a comedic genius, but feeding him
But he doesn't know. That's the thing. Yeah. He's going through life with all this material, and he doesn't even realize that he's giving material away for free.
Yeah,
Don't worry. He gives himself plenty of credit, and let's not give the material givers the credit, because then we have to thank Trump. We have to thank Giuliani. There's so many people to thank when you're getting material to cry about. So no,
I'm just saying. When he dies,
but he's not aware. That's the thing.
When he dies, it's going to be a sad day for some of us fans, because we're like, fuck, this guy. He was always good for just getting a good Keith rant. Getting us a good solid, like, what the fuck was that? Like, every 3 months, you know? Hey. It won't be like, oh, I won't listen to the show. It's just one of those, like, man, that was a good recurring bit. That was Keith's life.
You know what? Have a lobster roll that day and retweet something stupid Keith said, and that's a good memory.
He already contacted somebody to send letters out in death.
There you go. Keep it going.
Yeah, y'all not even going to be able to do the obituary. He's going to have it already written out, because he was like, I don't want them to take it, because I know they'll talk shit about me.
Speaking of ripoffs, Wonder Woman was terrible.
It was bad, and I love everything. It was bad.
Yeah,
I
love everything. Yeah, we finally agreed on something.
When Wonder Woman started, in 2 minutes, you saw it was corny. It reminded me of the beginning of Superman 3. I don't know if you remember, but people are falling in manholes, but you're supposed to giggle instead of think he's dead. And, you know, because the guy was watching some woman in a short skirt. Right away, I'm like, oh, no.
Yes.
Right away.
For me, it was it wasn't even those like weird ass Olympic games. It was the first, like,
you think, sorry, but with those Olympic games and everything spinning, you'd think she knows how to use a revolving door.
You would think so. Yeah. I mean, they have advanced technology beyond anything humans have at that place. But yeah, she was very, very taken aback. But what was interesting to me, I knew it was trash when there was like a robbery in the mall, and the action was all like
floaty.
Yeah,
I was like, the hell is this? Last time she had swords and she was taking elbows to their heads and kicking them, and we gonna float? No.
Yeah, it was very much like, take the bad guy and be like, no, mister. We're not doing crimes.
And you know, and I think the thing that got me the most, we're in the 80s with no 80s music. Because at some period of time, I expected to hear some Madonna, some Prince. I mean, just something. I mean,
why do you even name it 84 and nothing from 1984 is in the fucking movie except like fanny packs?
Yeah, all you made yourself do was have to you know, make a mall look like it was from 1984. Other than that, it's nothing to do with 1984. There's not a Rubik's Cube joke.
No. And
well, you know, can I tell you, I knew it was trash when they said, here's a new movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, DC is terrible.
I know to wait.
They have a bad track record.
They do. And they had white people breakdance. And I was like, the hell is this?
Well, that is 80s. But they were breakdancing and not even breakdancing music.
Right. That's the thing. Not even breakdancing music. And at least mix it up. They didn't have to be all white. Yeah. Maybe that's a mental thing for me. But well, I was, you know, like, word.
Washington, D.C., a.k.a. Chocolate City, is known for its white breakdancers.
Apparently so.
Anyway. When Wonder Woman is holding a bad guy upside down by the leg and turns to a girl that sees and puts up the shh sign, we all see you, though.
Right.
It's be cute, but it makes no fucking sense.
And then, like, because in this universe, the way they've done the continuity of the movies, it's a prequel to other movies where no one had heard of her before. But then the crisis in this movie was literally the destruction of the world. It's impossible
for nobody to have heard of her
10 years after this to be like, oh, Wonder Woman doesn't ring a bell, man. I don't know.
Heard of her.
Yeah.
So they only used that year because they wanted to seem deep based on the
1984,
the book.
No, not even on the book. No, you're giving it too much credit.
I was a kid in 84, so I'm like, what is really happening here? And I think and me and Roger talked about this too, the running, when she was like on the highway, I was like, I think that I could run better than that, and I'm out of shape. Like, what is happening here? This is a fit woman, and she doesn't even look like she's actually there.
It just looks stupid.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Wonder Woman fans, if y'all are listening to this. I really do hate the trash y'all's movie. I'm not a Keith, okay? But this shit was that bad.
The one time I'm like, you know what, Keith? You're right. That sucked.
I haven't heard one good thing about this movie.
So
when you say I'm sorry to all the Wonder Woman fans, I don't think you're talking to anyone.
Hopefully I'm not, but you just never know. You know, it's like someone that likes, like when I said I didn't like it on my Facebook page, there's always like a person or two that's like, I enjoyed it. There were colors. It was time passing. 2.5 hours of time were passing as it was on my TV.
I look like, ooh, how much longer we got?
Like, I guess it's not fucking dental surgery, so congrats.
Right. Can you see these people see, like, the Matrix or something? Like, they would die, right?
Yeah.
Because right. They would die.
I just don't want you to ever tell me you don't like anything I like if you like this. You see what I'm saying? So, like, and it doesn't, I don't care if it's, like, Linguini. It don't even have to be a movie. You just don't get to, you don't get to not like things. You like this shit. Anyway, episode 3358. Accentuate with
Jess Wood.
I knew you would know this name.
Yes.
We love us from Jess Wood.
We do.
Big fan. She has such great energy.
Mm-hmm.
And even when she is being chaotic or problematic, I still love her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a giver. And it is like you do have to hold your breath on some of the stuff she said. But I'm like, this is genuinely this person's experience. Yeah. She's not doing accents of things she doesn't know about. See, people don't know. It's not like this black and white, you can't say this at all. It's that you can't say the idea behind it. Right. So it's this stupid thing of like, oh, that's an accent. It's like, yeah, we all have accents. It's the bad ones
that get me. If you're like, yeah, I went to the DMV and this woman will talk like this every time. Like, that's not even good. There are no black people that talk like that. So now this whole fucking thing feels like it was made up, you know, as opposed to like, there's people that either you grew up around people or you're just a killer at fucking accents.
Yes.
And it's like, that feels genuine. It came from a real place of,
yes,
this is my experience with these people, as opposed to like, here's a caricature, here's me in blackface or whatever. It's like, well, obviously that's too far, but I don't know. I think also though, with the internet, people have gotten so out of control with like appropriation arguments and cultural arguments and all this shit where like people used to be dismissed and never heard. And now we've gone to everybody has to be heard, even if it's kind of like, well, no, we don't agree with that. Like,
yeah, but you're dismissing me by not doing my accent. You say that people like me don't exist with this accent because you're so afraid of doing it.
Yeah,
but the accent exists. So if you're talking about my mother and you do the Israeli accent, you're going to sound like my mother, and you have the knowledge, not ignorance, the lack of ignorance, to do that right because you know what to joke about. You only know what to joke about when you actually know the thing that you're talking about. When you're speaking out of ignorance, you're saying bullshit that has come to you. You never met a person like this, and now you're just putting out the stereotypical, like the most stereotypical, which that person doesn't exist. Yes, stereotypes exist for a reason. There's a little bit of this and that and a little bit of this and that, but there is no caricature. And when there is the actual race and nationality or whatever, we're all like, holy shit.
Yes.
Please don't do this to my race. Oh my God.
That's what gets erased in all this is like when you watch like a Def Comedy Jam and that white person does nail it and you're like, that is fucking hilarious. That's us. That's how we do. Like,
no, that's funny.
It's like that cultural exchange has been lost via like, I think the internet and stuff. Like people are very more like the internet's very much like, you know, block or mute or, you know what I'm saying? Like pass or fail, black or white. But life is a lot more like, no, I love Rush Hour because Chris Tucker's making jokes about Asian people. Jackie Chan's making jokes about black people. They're in the movie trying to fight all kinds of people. We came for this. This is the experience that is funny to us.
me and Xerxes make fun of each other's culture. And even stuff that like doesn't exist, I still know it's funny because he's met a bunch of me's, you know?
Right.
And so, okay, there's this really, I hope this comes off like a real thing. Okay, see if you can follow. Okay, so during OMAT, I say like, hey, you know, we're being grateful for this, that, and the next. And I mention like, when I go in a shower, I'm like, holy shit, this water is coming out for me. I can adjust it to like the most minute little adjustment where I can have it heated or cooled exactly how I want it. This is something to really be grateful for. The water that I drink comes out of my faucet and it just happens, right? So we turn off OMAT and he goes, holy shit, you just said the most ignorant immigrant shit you've ever said fucking before in your life. And then he goes like this, he goes, in America, the water flows from the ceiling. You have not one, but three knobs. In America.
Oh, that is good.
Oh, that's good.
Now that's one of his characters. So when I say anything, like there was another thing that I said the other day, I don't remember. He goes, yes, in America.
Like, I miss that, man. You
yes,
know, I miss
those are the things that make it fun. And the thing is, just be yourself. Because one thing about Jess Woods that I love, you can never say you're not getting the real her. Like you, she's always presenting the real her at whatever period of time in her life that she's in. And so that's one thing I appreciate, the quirkiness, the uniqueness, the thing that makes her different is what actually draws me to her. Because I was like, oh, I'm not going to meet another Jess Wood.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but the same is for the Goots, but we want the opposite from him. Be less like you. So it's a little confusing for some people.
Well,
what were you saying? Sorry.
As a person that doesn't have to actually work with some of the folks, I disagree. I want the Goots just like he is.
Fair.
It's like for a much better show. And I know it's much more work for y'all, but I'm not working.
Right. Yeah. No, I tried to tell him. He's like, I'm trying to be more myself. And I went, no.
I'm just like, the form's going to be lit. Goose it up, baby. And also, I like how him to like save Jess from the Me Too rant. Like him just like jumps in like, time out, flag on the plate. Listen, this is what I think you're going for. And then Jess is like, yes, that is what I was going for. It's like, cool, because the way you were driving to get there, you was gonna get in a wreck on the highway.
Slow down. No speed limit.
I think women my age are hesitant to say that we're feminist and hesitant to say the Me Too movement is a good movement because it feels like we're just victimizing ourselves. And we also remember a time where we were told to behave this way as a reaction to men. So it's this weird situation where you guys don't, like, as young people right now, you guys don't know from people telling you to like hold on to your virginity, to, you know, treat your body this way, to if you're going to go into that room, you're asking for it. Like, it's not the law that was telling us that. It's our mom, like my mom. I know her mom was different, but my mom was like, why would you go into that room? Do not go into a room with a man, any man, not your best friend's father, not your uncle, not anybody. And like the blame was always put on us. So it's weird to go like, yeah, this happened to me. And I thought it was really cool though, that at the end of my rant, she was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Kind of tricks the person too. It's like, you're absolutely right in that, blah, 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 something totally different, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Do I do that?
I think what's funny is I did think it related to what she was saying, and I thought that's where she was going, because like she was taking the slow route there, but him to just kind of put the fast forward, like, yes, and this is where we're going next, is that you were raised where they were telling you that it was okay for a guy to pursue you and to violate your consent, basically, to assume consent. That was a thing that we were raised with. And you're going to talk about how now it's good that these people do have the values that we fought for. She did this with, I can't remember the guest, but he used to do this with, he was a gay dude, and he would be like, this is what's wrong with the LGBT people, they got all these rights now. And it's like, and you fought for those rights in your day. And then that's why they have the rights. And then they're going to push further than you would have pushed. It's like, yes, that is where I was going to go.
But Mehran Kigani?
Like, yeah, I think it was Mehran. It's like, he wanted to stay over here where he could gripe. And then you just push him along to like, and if we just move one step further, this is where it's supposed to go, right? And it's like,
again, people my age or older, the gay shit was more real. Like, it was the hatred was you might die. So they're like, why are people being such pussies? I'm like, this is our request, is that we can just be the pussies we are. Please. Yes. I just want to say nice things to people.
This is the point. I wanted, yes. You should have not had to not be the pussy you are. Yeah. Like you shouldn't have to be this tough.
To you.
Yeah, enjoy looking at flowers without getting beat up. Stop. Yeah. Right?
Yes. Throw the glitter in the air without getting shot. Like that. That's all you're asking.
I mean, I'll shoot you, but like, it won't be a hate crime.
Hilaria Baldwin was such an amazing story to me.
Yeah,
I've been obsessed with it.
Because we've always thought that woman was white because we cover her on White People News.
Right. For years on our show, we've been covering this woman who came out of nowhere.
Yeah, we asked each other, what does she do? I don't know. What does she do?
We've never known. I didn't know what she did until I was listening to y'all go, yeah, she has a yoga studio. And I was like, fuck, that's what she does? Because what I thought she did was walk beside Alec Baldwin, and then paparazzi are like, check this out. Look who's walking around the block with Alec Baldwin. It's Hilaria Baldwin.
Guess who had another baby?
Yeah. So good.
He's like, walk around with me, honey. I'm in trouble for punching something. Can you walk around with me for a minute?
I just called my daughter a pig. Can you want to get out here and get these photos? Thank you.
But did this really happen? Was I getting it right? She had a fake accent that she stayed in that accent for years. This is true.
Yes. This is what made this episode so good, was that Himda got the revelation live on the air and went through all the steps. Like how,
this is why Keith doesn't talk to me off air. Whatever you get between me and Keith, you might get like, you know, there's stuff that before and after the mic checks, the what should we call the show. That's actually pretty interesting. But aside from that, you guys get it.
Yeah, that's what I do with Karen too sometimes. Where I'm like, she'll like stumble onto a story where she's like, oh, did you hear about this? I'm like, no. The people need to hear you. They need to hear that you are fucking going crazy about this when I tell you the story.
Yes, because I'm going through like the emotional roller coaster that everybody else is going through the whole time. And people always be like, why is Karen surprised? I was like, because it's the first time I'm hearing it.
And this was Keith's time.
Yes.
To slowly push him to the end. Because she started resisting at first. Like, no, this is too stupid.
Why would you do this?
It can't be what you're saying. Because what you're saying is so fucking stupid. But no, it was what he was saying. It would be like finding out that Kat was from Wisconsin. You know?
Did you get excited, Keith, when you saw that I didn't hear about Hilaria?
Yeah, I didn't know that you'd find it so crazy, and I'm glad you did. It is crazy. Yeah, it all worked out.
Yeah. Oh, that was such a great story. Oh. And then did y'all even see her kids' names? They're like,
no, Funa
Spanish.
Yes,
Funia.
It's like Raul, Paul.
She went out of her way.
It's so over the top that it's just like, why would you name your kid this? You know, like Spanakopita, olives. Like this is not. Mm-hmm. This is just fake. Oh, anyway.
One kid was the plane. I'm like, what are you?
COVID is so bad, Keith has to give doctors and scientists credit now. And I think that sucks. We lost a whole bunch of jokes. Okay. Right. There was a time when, you know, I went to the doctor for my knee. These motherfuckers don't know shit. Don't listen to them. Just do whatever you want to do with your knee, because I've had 37 fucking shots in my knee. And now we have to be like, okay, guys, listen. We didn't think you would go outside and get coronavirus. So listen to the doctor, maybe.
People take their guns and they shoot tornadoes to stop the weather pattern. This is what we're working with.
Yeah.
Now I heard that. I was like, ooh, that's definitely white people, because we not wasting our bullets on no tornadoes.
It's not wasting when you're trying to figure out if it works. Everything had to be eaten. You know what I mean?
Listen, if you can punch waves, they can shoot at tornadoes.
Yeah. Now
one is a little more expensive.
We're like another 100,000 people dying from Keith having to be like, I know you can't punch the waves and stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they're taking the humor.
That's what kids do. And it was funny because I was in my 30s.
Yeah.
So please explain that mask. I don't really think I'm stopping waves from reaching the shore and the vibrations affecting sharks miles away. It's just water and I'm just punching it.
This is going to be great because 2021 Keith will be PSAs about wave punching. Just like a new version of weird science.
Like half, yes,
I'm here for it.
Like half of America won't wear a mask. And then like September Keith and the girl is just a very serious like NPR like show. It's just like, guys, for real, we don't even have jokes today. Just wear the fucking mask, please.
Yeah, I got that. Video of like how to take care of a baby, you know, oh, your baby's cold. No, you don't stick it in the oven. I didn't know that was a PSA. I thought it was stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. If you won't wear a mask, you might stick a baby in the oven. So
you might
just, yeah. You know, apparently you motherfuckers will run up in the Capitol building. So
don't shoot guns at each other, CO2 or otherwise. Like, this is actually something people need to be told.
Apparently so.
Speaking of the coup. Mm-hmm. Episode 3359, nice. That's how it's meant to be pronounced, I assume. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With Karen.
Oh, Lord.
Drum roll.
I know. I know the first name is Oscar.
Right.
Okay. The last name is what's going to tear me up.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the thing. Do you want a countdown?
Three.
Go for it.
Like we're on two. One.
Carlos.
Am yes.
Oh, no. Okay.
Carlos. Now, what we don't see in this last name is an R. I'm going to name, we're going to do reverse Wheel of Fortune. These are the letters you said that aren't in the next one. I'm telling you, so. He even says Kalizos, right? He gave you 17 ways to say
Kalizos.
My favorite thing is that this show started with everyone being like, so is this even really how you pronounce your name? He's like, hey, Carlos, it don't matter. Americans can't say it.
I'm so sorry, baby. I am that American.
This is the version he went with so Americans could say it.
Right. This is great. Through Karen, I finally understand how people got to pronouncing my name. Churnda, Kamida. This is the secret key.
Mm-hmm. She's breaking it down. Y'all talked about the coup.
What's that, Keith? Sorry.
Just, oh, fuck, a bunch of letters. Here we go.
All right.
Oh, fuck. I knew I shouldn't close my eyes. I just get so nervous.
I'm going to
There was a second.
is there a silent letter?
Things that start with C for 500.
I would lose that money.
Speaking of things that start with C, there was a whole ass coup during this episode. How recent was it before y'all went on the air to talk about it?
The second. It was every channel's news, and then we recorded.
But it was like you might start to see them come up the stairs, but it was our scheduled recording time. So we're like, we think that people are storming some shit. More on that later.
When you got off the air, you finally got to see the news, was it worse than you thought, or about what you thought, or less than what you thought?
I think the same. I think on that, the show with Oscar, they're already, you know, people are in the Capitol. They got in pretty quick. We didn't have stories of any deaths at the time. Now we have five people dead.
For me, it just got worse and worse. It was like, okay, this happened. And then as the videos start coming out, as you can like sort of piece together, and then we have like this poker game sometimes on Friday night that my brother joins. And at the end, after everybody left, my brother and I basically did like a half an hour TED talk on this. And he's like, check this video out. Check this, then this happened, then this had this perfect like lineup of exactly what happened. And the more videos I saw throughout the week, the more videos, you know, people are sharing and information, it just was like, oh shit, next level. Oh shit, that happened too. Holy fuck. And then you just watch, you're like, oh my God. And then the zip ties and, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Which brother was it, Michael?
Yeah. Yeah, he has his reference videos like just locked and loaded. He's like, oh, let me show you a video on that. Let me show you a video on that. And so he went through all of the sort of succession of what happened. While this guy was telling this speech, this thing was happening. Look how the doors are open here. Check out, the guy had the gun right behind the thing. Here's how, you know, they got people together. It was just this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were actually watching it live. We rarely watch like long extended periods of time, but I had took a lunch and I was looking in there, and all of a sudden they was talking, and next thing you know, some people with the suits, I was like, oh, the people with the suits walk in there, they got guns on their hips, and it is not a game, and everybody was rushing out. I was like, I think something happening in that building.
Yeah, I figured somebody's getting shot, because cops have a completely different job than Secret Service.
Yes.
Like, Secret Service don't give a fuck.
They shoot and ask questions later.
Yeah, it's like, our job is to keep you from hurting politicians. The cops have, like, the cops is, like, down with some of those people. Like, oh, yeah. What, y'all hate niggas too? Oh, shit. Pop. And then, but the Secret Service is, like, most of the people that shot politicians in American history are, like, crazy white people. So, we will absolutely lay you down. And that one woman got laid down. And mm-hmm.
And then everybody was like, oh shit, it's real. I was like, oh, y'all expected to come in here and not get any pushback? Word?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, I know we had mentioned this on the show after that, but I didn't know. I knew it was crazy, but I didn't know if the world would find it crazy. And after that first show, that first day, Wednesday, I turn the news back on and I see all the news stations, right wing also, are saying how crazy it is. And I'm like, oh, good. Because who the fuck knows where the line is? Okay, so you all agree this is fucking, okay, this is too much. Okay, good.
Yeah,
to know.
I know you like joked on him or whatever the next day, but when Biden was like, this is not the America I know or whatever, I was like, that's what the fuck a president should be saying right now. Because I actually don't need you to be so woke that you're like, this is just how it is, people. Welcome to the party. It's going to be like this from here. No, you need to be father, walk in and be like, everyone calm the fuck down. And that was crazy.
Unless,
we're going to
let somebody else act the fool.
We're going to set the bar here at this shit is crazy and this can't happen again.
The president definitely has to talk to people like children, right? Like, everybody, we're better than that. You see that Nazi flag in your closet?
We're better than that. Who's better than that?
Come on.
You know you're better than that.
Who's my special guy?
You're better than that, big boy.
Come on. We don't hate the Jews. It's like, okay, I don't hate the Jews.
Did you ever meet one? No.
No.
You didn't know. Anyway.
I mean, I listen to Keith and the girl, but I don't see why.
I don't see no Jews. I don't get it.
I mean, I just hate them. My man Oscar Collazos, though, this felt more like an interrogation interview than a regular interview. Like, it just switched from like about 2 minutes into his stories. And I don't know. So was it like y'all felt that he wasn't forthcoming, or he just didn't know how to tell the story? Do you think he wasn't telling the truth? Because it felt kind of like y'all were like, let's get to the bottom of this. Right.
This is what I wonder. As you're talking, I'm like, why did we sort of switch up? Because I know something got switched, and I know we did have to like go, huh, a couple of times. And one of the things that we asked him about was, hey, you moved out of your parents' house at the age of 35. We got that straight from his stand-up. It's a clip. If you Google his name, that's, I think, the first clip that comes up. And we're like, yeah, this is interesting. And he's like, no, it's 25 years old. So what I think is he's used to doing stand-up and doing his stories based on a true story and not a documentary. So when asked to tell the story in its for real state, not just the exaggerated, here's a crazy thing, and then people don't ask questions afterwards because you're sort of like keying the based on the true story. Now he has to cut back to, oh, what did happen? So I think it's just he's not telling the story with the details that we appreciate. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, so.
I didn't know if it was that or if it was is just something missing in his story. Just you know, like you can write it down and be like, okay, I follow your story, but I know there's a piece that, assuming it's real, would really help it make sense. Why more than once are you saying, without explanation, why the woman is like a literal mummy covered head to toe in gauze? What does that mean? Is that an exaggeration of only she had some kind of visible diaper? I still don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, it doesn't need, real life doesn't need these exaggerations, but obviously that's how he's used to writing. It would be a good enough joke if it was a good enough joke if he says, I moved out for real at 25, or maybe say 27 or something. But he's so used to like, no, it's a much better story if I say full of gauze than there was some blood coming out of, I think it was coming out of her vagina, but you kind of don't want to stare there as a man. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, that's the truth, but it's not, she was blood soaked and full up like a mummy because it couldn't hold her back based on a true story. Oscar.
Yes, it was because of abortions. I know nothing about abortions.
It was kind of like a trick. It's like a trickster story where they bring up a detail that's like a really big flashing like sign.
Exactly.
And then you have to ask or else you're bad at your job now. Because right. We were thinking it's like, yeah, she's got like blood coming out of like a vagina and everything. Anyway, so she wants to like rent my apartment. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. Actually, yes, you can. It's like, no, I go back to why she was bleeding.
Just some steps.
Like what happened there? And then y'all would like interrogate like good now, cop, what, bad cop.
Was he trying to get us to ask the follow-up? Or did he just think he could say something we wouldn't ask the follow-up? For example, he's like, And I had my place on fire, and yeah, my roommate was in the place. I mean, we had a bad history. The end.
Yeah, but we're best friends now.
What's your history? Okay, if I have to get into this now, you know what
I'm saying? It's like, he's also like, but you know, me and that guy, we're best friends now, pals for life. And you're like, many things had to happen between him thinking you tried to kill him with fire. And now y'all are pro dog. Y'all are tight forever.
We didn't pay rent for 8 months. We're best friends now. There will have to be it's going to be a lot of consulting.
Anyway, I want him to come back. He's so good.
I love his storytelling.
He brings out the best in y'all because y'all were just like, oh shit, this is.
Yes.
Okay, like, stop
make
there.
This story makes sense to us.
Stop there, Oscar. Let's go back to what the fuck you just said and why it was so crazy. But yeah, I love when these interviews turn into this. Now, how did y'all find out about this dude? Because I feel like it was just like it felt like y'all didn't know each other that well, and then you did the show and you're like, this is the story that you want to tell us for real.
My girlfriend recommends people sometimes, and then it gets closer to the show and I go, all right, so what do you know about him? He's nice. I'm like, okay, here we go.
I was like, I like everybody. Okay. Karen likes every movie. I like everybody. I think he'll make a great guest.
And it's not her fault, but she got us Chuck Palmer. She got us, his name's not coming to me, the other Spanish guy that we like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Chris?
No. A recent one. A recent Latino.
She does good finds, and then... I don't know. But maybe I know, like, I didn't know Oscar at all or any of his stories. Mm-hmm. His stand up is live. So,
yeah, I hate that. I hate that it took like 20 or 30 minutes before he's like, oh no, I wasn't 35. I was like, well, that's very important. That was like the opening sentence of this episode.
Well, can I ask you who was the good cop and who was the bad cop? Who was drilling more?
I feel like whenever this happens, Keith is good cop. You're always bad cop. Now, what people have to understand is that neither of the cops are on your side. Mm-mm. So that's not at a, that's not, not me a going, one of these cops is being nice. No, one of these cops is coming off like they're being nice, getting you to tell on yourself. And then the other cop is like, where the fuck were you on October the 31st? And then Keith's like, just tell her where you were.
I mean, we can get this over with.
People are places and they got to be times.
I mean, I understand you get a little lost. Okay. Make a wrong turn.
Listen, what Hemda is asking you is, why are you lying? Okay.
I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just saying you're lying, maybe lying to her. Yeah.
Let's shut this bitch down. Tell her why you're lying.
Yeah. I'm on your side. Okay. We're both going to get you out of here. Oh, no. I loved it. But I think the way that Keith likes people that bomb. In comedy, I think I like where y'all have an awkward guest, you know? So I hope he comes back.
I'd like to say for the record, Sergio Chacon is the
name.
Oh, I like him too.
He was fantastic. Yeah. So much fun. Yeah.
Kyle's 2 out of 3. You know, that ain't bad. Shit. 66%.
Right. And there's been more. There's been a lot. We should credit the people in the beginning and like as a fault. Like, hey, we're meeting Oscar for the first time, and if this is good or bad, we're blaming Kyle Ocasio at Ocasio Kyle on Twitter. Please follow and let her know
at her and at the show and just put umbrellas.
Oh yeah, please don't say negative things. But now we did. There have been umbrellas. Different umbrellas out on social media. Umbrellas are starting. So yeah, feel free to, you know, be like, hey, I heard you on at Keith and the Girl. If you must say something, just put an umbrella.
Oh, man, I love this dude. I hope he comes back. I feel like he doesn't even know his stories are as good as they are. Mm-mm. And y'all get the goodness out of him. Because keep in mind, if he would have told the stories the way he wanted to tell them without y'all asking questions, then the stories aren't even interesting. It was specifically because y'all went back and like, what happened with your roommate? He's like, oh yeah, he thinks I tried to burn him alive and leave him in the apartment. Like, this is a story. Now we got a story. The shit you had before, Oscar, was cool, but this shit, this is what I came for.
How frustrating when somebody's telling a story like, and then I never saw the guy again. But you did, because you're knocking on the door and you had a knife in your hand. Oh yeah,
I
did.
Okay. I love. Then they did stand up together. So like this motherfucker thing, you tried to burn him alive and for not paying rent for 8 months, which is kind of a good motive. But he thinks you tried to burn him alive, and then y'all got to go tell jokes. Like that show is doomed to fail, man.
You do have to listen like a detective. Like, okay, we get where you were at noon and where you were at 5, but at 3 p.m. I am lost.
Right. Right. And then we sound like, and then we wonder, like, the guests think, like, man, they're really harping on this story. And
right.
He's like, I'm never going on there again. They asked me fucking questions. All right. I loved him, though. Please come back, Oscar. I know he'll never get booked again, but still, come back.
I'm hoping also.
Episode 3360. Say his name with
Betsy Helmuth.
That's really okay, I think that's close, Karen.
Yes.
I think what happened is you hesitated.
Yes.
You started doubting yourself halfway through, but you were gonna do it right. You had it.
She's like, Keith makes me feel weird when I close my eyes and go for a name, so
Helmuth. She's from the Helmuth. She seemed very sweet and also like at first kind of boring. I'm not gonna lie. At first I was like, oh, she's too sweet and boring for this show. And then she told that motherfucking story. And I was like, this is what the fuck we came here for. Mm-hmm.
She saved it with crying, right?
She was who had the billionaire that wouldn't say his name. What can y'all say his name behind the paywall now that she's not going to hear this? Do I have to go to her website?
If you say it, I guess I can't say nothing, right?
Yeah. Guess it, you know.
I know either you didn't say it.
Go ahead. Man, could it be?
But yeah, I don't know. It's funny to me that she doesn't say it. You know, like we mentioned, like. it would, like, as if it makes her a bad person somehow.
But you know, I only understood why she doesn't say it, because she got the check already. Like, if I didn't get the check, it would 100% be I'm saying the name. But I did get the check. But still, I don't remember his name. Otherwise, I would just say it right now. I don't see why we can't say it.
I'm just going to say billionaires until hopefully I get it right. Like, duh. I'm really upset Simon Cowell did that to her, because she deserves better. She deserves better than that. And this is so great, because I think at first it started I thought it was going to turn a little bit good cop, bad cop for her, because her story did seem like a little bit like she was taking her time to get there. And right. did y'all already know the story? And y'all were like, this is the story? Okay, so y'all didn't even know.
Okay.
Oh, this is even better.
Yes.
So she was taking her time to kind of get to somewhere. I was like, why does she think the story is that important? And then she was like, yeah, because there was this one guy, and it was being kind of like really like, you know, vague, like I was in a commercial and he's a billionaire and something.
And I don't know how Kendra thought, but I assume it was like I did, where every time, like, let's say the story had three parts, basically. You get to the end of the second part and we're like, that better not be the end of the fucking.
Yep.
Yes.
When she, it started fairly close to the beginning when she took out her card and like her coupons fell all over the place. I'm like, is this where he was mean? Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Better not be it. You were embarrassed that coupons fell out during a commercial.
It felt like, obviously she's not with this dude or whatever, but it felt like it could have been something for like a Netflix rom-com. You know, like you have your meet cute and this guy's rich and maybe handsome or something, you know.
We already have a movie like that for white people and, crosses borders because Chappelle's in it.
What?
You've got mail.
Oh, he mm-hmm. was in that movie. Mm-hmm. Was somebody a billionaire that was a dick as well?
You've Got Mail. Tom Hanks is a big corporate bookstore, and he has like three floors opening up next to a mom and pop shop. Her mother gave her the shop, and her name is Blondie McWhiterson. What's her face?
Mm-hmm. Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan. And then he ends up closing her shop, putting her out of business. And she was still like, oh, I was hoping it was you that was writing me those emails. I was like, you were hoping this? What?
By the way, they're together now, of course, and all their bookstores failed. So
yeah, they got bought out by Amazon. Which is why I'm so surprised Jeff Bezos would do this to Betsy.
How dare Oprah Winfrey do it?
What was Oprah thinking? Mm-hmm. The apartment job is so weird, because he did sound like it was a reality TV show. Because mm-hmm. that is what reality TV people do. It's all this like, do this thing, and then motivational speech, believe in yourself. If you can't do this, why would I even want to do business with you? And then they show up and they're an asshole to you because that's what the show is. And then your ass out, because it was real fucking life and you did spend that money and you did burn those bridges. Oh my God. And then she was doubting herself. And I think this is when Hemda was like, hold up, let me stop. I'm not no more bad cop.
Yeah.
I gotta build your confidence back up, because this was fucked up.
it really was. Yeah. It's one of the things where I could see me being like that, because it's like, you take pride in your work, you take pride in what you do, you take pride in your business relationships. You're like in her mind, I take this seriously, and it was like just another customer that happened to have a lot of money, but just another customer. So it's like, when I do everything I can to try to make you satisfied with my job, and then you turn around and do this, it feels like a personal slight.
It's true, but here's the thing. When I speak to her at the end and I say, don't give him any more information because you did your job, I'm speaking to myself. I know that I'd be like, well, I can easily share this information. It doesn't matter. And I would need like a Xerxes or a Keith or like whoever, the Michael, my brother, to be like, hey, you don't have to do this anymore. You do not owe him anything. And this doesn't make you a nice person. This only makes him an asshole. You cannot get your nice person card through this act. So stop your energy. And I need that. And I'm trying more to do it for myself. And I'm telling you, for those who react like that, it is awkward as shit when you first react differently, but oh, it's so satisfying. It'll be like the entire day it's on your mind. I should respond. Nope. Then the next day it goes down a little bit more. Then the third day you're like, oh, I think I did the right thing. And it's not here anymore. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you ask, you know, like, Xerxes, I still did the right thing, right? It's okay. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Not a bad person. Okay. Cool.
I started doing that a couple years ago for the first time, and it's changed my life. Like, sometimes you just got to be like, dog, it's not me, it's you. And the thing that really, like, the epiphany, which is so fucking stupid to say is an epiphany when you're 40, but it was an epiphany, was like, those kind of assholes are assholes to everyone.
Yep, you're not special.
So they're always getting told, like, no, like, that's enough. Like, this, like, there's a bunch of people
that can
turn that email, and they don't give a fuck. And so I'm giving more of a fuck than them.
Yep.
I loved it.
Yep, because Roger, that basically I am hemmed up, because it was so funny. Me and Roger talked about this the other day. I think I'm being mean, and Roger looks at me like, you're not actually being mean.
Yeah, you're being a normal human being.
Yes, I think I'm telling them, no, I'm being mean. I'm standing up. And Roger was like, you're acting like a normal person.
So I told her I can't give her a 3-hour ride out of town. I'm like, yes, that's a normal thing to say.
And I feel like that's an accomplishment for me.
You actually can't do that. You actually don't have the time to do that, because then it's a 6-hour ride for you.
Yes.
And then she's like, yeah, well, I stood up and told her no. I'm like, you didn't even really have to. No, look, it's not even standing
up. Battles that count. It's like, the small ones.
If they get upset, victory. If they get mad, they're actually a dick, not you.
Yes. But she probably needed that at least 3 times. And also, one of the ways that I stand my ground is, I have to remember, if I say yes to this person, I'm saying no to these 3 things. Yes. So I have to, like, So if I say yes to this, I'm saying no to, like, a bike ride with Xerxes. If I say yes to this, I'm saying no to recording a show of my own that I'm interested in or whatever, you know? So just like that math, what am I giving up for this that I don't want to do at all?
Yeah. People used to ask us to do, like, movie and TV reviews for shit sometimes. And I'd be like, but then it's work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how you enjoyed it because you got to watch it and just enjoy it. I want to do that. But yeah, that was so dope. And she did turn out to be a really good guest. I also got worried when y'all brought up, like, the cool stuff. And then she was like, my uncle is one of those people. I thought she was going to be like, and we just need to come together. And people were like, oh yeah, I just block them sometimes because fuck them. I'm like, yes, okay, cool, still cool. Yes,
we understand.
Because she's so nice. She would have been, I thought she was going to be like, and then I feel bad because I had to block him for, you know, president or whatever the fuck. I do feel bad that her husband writing the letter worked.
Ain't that a shame?
It's like, what do you want at that point? Because I know you want your money, but you almost want it not to work.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that it's not just because you're a woman.
Right.
And you also want to be wrong. You want to be wrong that you assumed he's not talking to me because I'm a woman. You're like, this is stupid of me to think, but okay, apparently it was true, and now I have my check. Thanks, Daddy.
Oh, God. Thank God she got one of them cool husbands, because, you know, he could have been like, I'm going to sleep in the lobby, and I'm going to get the money. So,
you come by your place at 5 p.m., please don't have my check.
Yeah. Because at this point, you disrespected my wife.
Yes. I wish you wouldn't show up with the check.
Yeah, let me explain something to you. I already don't have the money. You see what I'm saying?
Right. I ain't got nothing to lose.
It can't get worse than this. So have the money or don't have the money.
Especially have the money or don't have the money, dude who's been texting my wife at 2 a.m. freely.
Right. Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah, he's lucky she didn't, like, use the black card and just be like, I got the money. Don't worry about that. I took my fee out. You're good, buddy. A handshake deal.
You're good. And I also hope she changes her credit card number, because apparently everything was showing but the last 4 digits. So I hope she calls them, be like, you know what? Go ahead and give me another credit card.
I can't believe Mark Cuban did that. Like, what a dick. What a dick. Xerxes' birthday. Now I'm confused.
Me too.
I don't even understand what happened.
Thank you.
I Like, and, I feel like him to confuse me. Explaining his birthday. Yes. I don't know what the rules are. He seems chill about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that you can't believe he's chill because you're not chill about it? You're like, my birthday needs to be celebrated.
I swear to God, I considered this. I'm just like, I am not going to put the pressure on him to put the pressure on me, right? Mm-hmm. He's usually very chill about this birthday. He doesn't really care about it. My question was, are we caring about your birthday on Tuesday? Do I need to take the day off? Okay. We talk about scheduling bike rides because it has to happen around the schedule. And then things like, and I hate to always pick on Appia. Appia, I'm not picking on you. You are loved. You want
her kids dead. What were you going to say?
I hate kids.
No, you hope to get COVID. Oh my God.
I hate people with kids. No, but she said, like, I'm the same way. I don't want a big deal. What I do is I have a very relaxing day. I maybe go away for a couple of days. And I'm like, everything that you're listing here takes planning. Where are your kids when you're taking the day to yourself? Where is your husband when you have to plan? Did you have to plan a train or a car ride or a hotel? That's the kind of plan. I want to know, are we celebrating in whatever way? Or am I going to work? Am I allowed to have meetings today? Like, do you want me to so have it like it's any other day? I am fine with that. We just need to tell me. So I followed Keith's advice and I took the fucking day off. And tomorrow I will just be like, whatever you want to do.
That's a smart move.
Yeah, that's a smart move. And also I think that from listening, it's like, oh, she's putting pressure on herself. Yes. You know, because it's almost like, sometimes it's hard for women to believe men when they just tell them, this is what I want. I know for me, sometimes I look deeper into it, but he's like, no, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, nah. He'd be like, no, I said what I wanted.
But then later he goes, all I want to do is spend time with you. And I'm like, well, that takes scheduling to spend time together, but I'm just going to let this pass. And then I didn't let this pass because I'm an asshole. I was like, okay, that takes planning. Anyway, let's go outside.
are you imagining a world where you don't take the day off on Tuesday and then Wednesday he just wakes up with his arms folded like, you son of a bitch. Wow. Really?
What?
See how he's doing a 12-01?
You really fell for it, huh? They just slow claps.
True, but there's always a reason to celebrate, and that's what I want to do. But I am backing off, and even though we plan every other fucking thing in our life, we're just not gonna plan this. We're gonna pretend like we didn't plan anything.
I love this.
But we did plan something.
He goes, what do you want to do? And she goes, nothing.
I just picture him like sitting on the couch watching TV and him just like next to him, like not even looking at the TV, looking directly at him like, we're doing nothing right now. This is just what you wanted.
Nothing.
Happy birthday. I'm here if you change your mind and you do want to do something. Because I took the fucking day off just in case.
For the record, I fully understand how I'm annoying here. I'm fully understanding. I understand. I feel like I will get better. But on the flip side, and it's just a tiny flip. It's like a maybe 10% flip. I'm not 100% wrong. Just 5%. You got a plan and just let me know.
It's annoying maybe, in a good way.
Maybe I should have proposed it as a different question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you give a shit about Tuesday? Mm-hmm. No, that wouldn't be enough for me. I can't. Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah, now yeah, I know.
What if he says like 5?
Right. Yeah.
No, then you're
no.
Fucking
no, I can't.
A 3? Like, yeah. What is a 3 worth of effort?
Yeah. This is about like where Roger asked me what's for dinner. I don't know.
She only knows what she doesn't want.
So. Yes. And then that's a personality trait. I can tell you what I don't want. Know what I want, but course. I know I don't want that.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I have stopped asking Xerxes what he wants to eat before every meal because we have every meal together. Now I'm like, why am I going to go back and forth? I bet you he'll eat this rice and chicken.
That's how I am. Whatever he cooks, I'm like the old school Mikey. whatever he places in front of me, he's not going to hear a complaint.
If well, he doesn't know what you like at this point, what the fuck?
And honestly, like, try some new shit. As long as I don't make some shit you don't like, you know what I mean? Like, I made liver and onions. Like, okay, I knew that was fucked up. But like, I made quinoa. Maybe you fuck with it. Let's find out.
Yeah, we found out the chickpeas was the bomb.
Yeah,
couscous is good.
Anyway, I can't wait till Wednesday to find out how this went. So.
Right?
Oh, I can't wait either. It's so fun.
I feel like we're all more excited about it than Xerxes is.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun.
We made it to the end of the episode. So what about the polls? What about the polls, Keith?
All right. Okay.
Will Hemda not kill herself before the polls? First off, will Keith's dad die by the end of summer?
I say no.
Mm-mm. Is it only yes or no?
Is there a hopeful?
I say no.
Is something about a soul?
I say a coma.
82% say no. 18% say yes. This is the time. So 18% would still be tricked by my dad as a child.
I bet you if you did that same poll with Pat Robertson, same percentages.
We talked about Nick Cannon's kid being named Powerful Queen Cannon.
Yeah. Yes. Powerful Queen.
That came to this poll. Your name is I'm a Big Douche. But you'll get $10 million when your parents die. So there's no promises. Mm-hmm. Deal or no deal? 81% say deal. They'll go no by the
deal.
Name.
No deal. Because what if your parents are like fucking Pat Robertson and you got to be like 90 before you get your $10 million. You wasted your whole life with I'm a Douche is your name.
That's the thing. It's like if I'm a douche in my 40s, I'm like, yeah, I'm over anybody making fun of me. Like, I'm not going to be traumatized by your stupid shit. But going through life as I'm a douche, like as a 12-year-old, I don't know that I can handle that. I already couldn't handle Hemda. So where would I go?
Can you kill your parents in this scenario and then speed it up?
Wishmaster.
$10 million.
Sure. You just can't get caught, obviously, or you have the money.
I mean, you got the $10 million to pay for defense. What's the next poll?
Pay for the fifth. Have you experienced an Airbnb disaster? Yes or no?
No, because we've never done Airbnb. I'm frightened. I'm like, nope, let me go somewhere where it's insurance and employees and shit like that.
It's not that there's no Airbnb nightmare. There's no hotel nightmares. Obviously, there can be. But like the Airbnb nightmares are like their own special brand of like individual nightmares. Like this shit ain't never happened to nobody before. You're like,
I think I'm just frightened. Like it maybe if it's somebody I know that's different, but if I don't know you, I'm like, I don't know nothing about you.
I think Airbnb is fairly safe, especially with like all the comments that people make. But I prefer hotels because I can treat hotels like pieces of shit. I need to clean up after my Airbnb. The towels can't be on the floor. My hair can't be everywhere. You gotta, you know, it's too delicate. So the whole time I'm trying not to touch anything, but you know, it's also very quaint. So it's nice. You have like a balcony, you have maybe a hot tub where you wouldn't have it in a hotel, but I would rather, you know, steal coffee off the carts in the hotel, you know, aisle and ask for too many towels and order room service at ridiculous times. Like this is what hotel living is for. So I
and prefer that's standard that. For every hotel just about, you know what I mean? As like an Airbnb, it's no standard. So like you go somewhere and it's like, yeah, so the neighbors next door are KKK. That just don't go on the balcony. But other than that, pretty normal, you know.
Also, Keith and I once had an Airbnb because we were doing some shows in LA, and this isn't a big deal at all, but it came up, the guy was like, hey, here's the Wi-Fi, here's this thing, it's like a one sheet about his house, and the fish need to be fed twice a day. Oh, God.
Right. Now you're responsible.
And I could see myself, like, killing the fish just because we're not here all day, we didn't come here to look at fish and sit on the porch. We're out. So we actually kept looking at each other like, did we do this today? Like, can we kill them by overfeeding?
Yes.
How long has it been?
I've committed several mass fish murders, massacres when I was a kid.
Yeah, if we kill the fish, do we just get another one? Should we take a picture of this one and then, like, just get another one? Who gives a shit? You left us with your fit. We're here for a week. We can so easily kill this. No, you don't know what I do.
Not a fan.
I would say, I'd say that yes, me and him have been in a disaster one. We went to a place, I believe it was LA, and it almost looked like they were squatting. Like there wasn't fairly furniture or anything. And the bedroom didn't have a door or a door that was off its hinges. And it had
spray paint on the wall.
It was so like graffiti inside. And it looked so shady and weird that we had to go like, oh, thanks. Let's just go to the car. And then we called up Airbnb. Let's get the fuck out of here.
It looked like a crack den.
Yeah.
Was this not in the description? They weren't on the up and up.
The door and the squatting and the crack den was not in the description at all.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was a mattress on the ground.
Right. Wow. It's going bad. Some bad shit is happening in a room with a mattress on the ground.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about that. Yeah, it was $50 a night, so we should have expected more.
But they try to do that tricky shit, you know, it's like, oh, I'm not missing something, right? There's no door here. Like, oh, you need a door? And then you're supposed to not be a weirdo. You're like, no, a door. That's a door? A bedroom.
The mattress comes with the floor door. The mattress comes with a floor level view.
Right.
Mm. So, you know, that we're not even going to charge you extra for that.
So the poll was, have you experienced an Airbnb disaster? 19% say yes. 81% no.
Okay, that's pretty high. That's
too high, man. I'm scared. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it's a mental thing for me.
I've never been to a Marriott where they're like, a door?
I don't know.
And then finally, polls, should Hinda take the day off on Tuesday?
100% mm-hmm. Yes.
First of all, you would think just take the day off, right?
Right.
20% say no.
Who the fuck is saying no to, can I take the day off, y'all?
Take your PTO. Use it up.
You wouldn't be able to.
I should be offended because you really, even without listening to the show, if I say, should I take the day off, just say yes.
Right.
Birthday or not, shouldn't I take a day off?
Mm-hmm. Was it 100% though?
No, it's 21% said no. 79% said yes.
Do you know why I think? Because they're like, hey, this person is asking you not to make a big deal. Now you're going to be like extra on that day. Like, I took the day off. Where are we going? Where are we going? What are we doing? What do you want? What would you like? Would you like breakfast? Would you like lunch? Do you want to flip it? Do you want to have breakfast for lunch? Oh my God. Do you want to have dinner now? What do you need?
I feel like that 21% is billionaires and they're just negging you because if a stranger walked up to you on the street and said, should I take the day off? We would all say yes. Unless you're just being greedy and you're like, but I like that you do a podcast and I don't want to miss a day. Which is still you kind of being a dick, but from a more nicer place, but still being a dick.
I'm being selfish.
That's the only way someone should say, don't take the day off. Other than that, if you listen to the sound of my voice.
And by the way, the day off has like, you guys wouldn't have even felt it. I'm still doing OMAT in the morning with Xerxes and Keith, and it's twice in the morning and we're still putting out the same amount of shows. We're just dealing with the work more on Monday and Wednesday. Yeah. So, I taking the day off?
Take the day off. God damn. All right. That's all the shows, for the week. Y'all did some spinoff shows and some like guest appearances.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go through them very fast. Okay.
Okay.
Apple and Oranges, Chew, episode 30. I always listen to Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
Hemda's watching Walking Dead, and
yes,
she's getting to the point where everyone starts hating it.
Yep.
But I still watch this show.
We do.
We love it.
Yes.
Because I would submit it is the most realistic TV show in the history of the world.
Yes.
I'll give you that.
It is so fucking real. Yeah, I used to think it was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Now we're living in a pandemic and I see what the fuck people do. And I'm like, they were right. I was wrong. Yes. I apologize.
People would get bit and they would not tell anybody. People would do the most ridiculous things.
Yes. Yes. And just to update that, I am pushing through, and by pushing through, you know what? I'm drawn to it a little bit. And then they brought in new characters again, and they're smart to do that. And they kill off characters that you know. And I'm like, you got me again. again. I really like that redneck that I hated in the beginning. Fucking yes. Yes. Character. Yes. God damn it. Could somebody kill the baby? Somebody just fucking kill the baby.
Yeah. Ridiculous. They're so good. They're so good at it. And I also hated Lori.
Yes.
I hated Lori. Like I know...
Lori or Lauren? The blonde chick?
The woman that was Rick's wife that started it all.
Useless. The most useless character. Her. Useless. So useless. Only drawing up drama and having a baby in the middle of Auschwitz.
Come on.
What is
Don't know who the baby daddy is.
You knew this was a zombie apocalypse, okay? You waited 2 days and start fucking other people and shit. This is too much.
You fucking threw up your plan B. Yeah. I would take plan C, D, and E. Are you kidding me? You found a pharmacy?
She's wow. Like, I just decided this moment to be pro-life. What? In the fucking Z-Pac? We don't even know a doctor. Mm-mm. What the fuck are you talking about? This man births cows on his farm. And that's who we're hoping can deliver your child.
Hoping.
You fucking idiot. The Dave Hill Show, 200 with Keith Malley.
By the way, I blame the men for squirting in her also. Okay, let's move
on. Yeah, of course. Yes, yes. He knew he could have pulled out. Rhythm method is not a rhythm method. We know white dudes dance on the ones and threes, okay?
That's how they keep getting people pregnant. Anyway,
that's why they. That's why it keeps happening, okay? I loved hearing Keith and the guys talk about crying. That was nice. We don't get that enough.
We don't.
Okay. They were talking about the last time they cried and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Loves that.
I haven't seen Titanic or Christmas Story. And somehow now it's become a weird badge of honor where it's me being the asshole. Now I don't want to see it so I can die and be like on my deathbed. Like I never saw those fucking movies everyone loves.
They're old.
I'll co-sign that. Don't waste your time.
I think we all have those, you know? You got something.
Hold on. You didn't like Titanic?
No, I didn't like Titanic.
And you didn't like Christmas Story?
I don't remember the Christmas Story thing. It was quaint, I'm sure.
Very controversial stuff I'm hearing right now.
What? He loses all his money because there's... The guy steals his money and then the whole town who's already poor gives the money again. Is that the
Let
one?
Her keep going. Let her keep going.
Is that not? Is that? That's one of the Christmas things, no?
It is. I think that's the one. That's the one with that Jimmy dude that talks funny.
Wait, the Christmas Story is the bunny ears one. Is it the bunny ears one?
I think it's the bunny ears
one. It's about Christmas.
The bunny outfit.
Does someone get shot in the eye in the Christmas Story, Keith?
Yes.
If it's the bunny suit one, that was a lot better than I thought it'd be corny. That's worth watching.
Right. It's not. But you enjoyed Donnie Darko, so that's good. And the other movie is It's a Wonderful Life. Okay. But I would recommend these, Rod, just the same.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to watch them, though. No. Also, just the fact that Keith likes them, now I really don't want to watch them. It's too much pressure, okay? Now I got to agree and shit. Keith, I love cooking, okay? Okay. I'm going to celebrate Martin Luther King Day, and I'm going to cook. You could have any meal in the world, mm-hmm. What would you like me to make you?
Beef stroganoff.
Wrong.
Sole with the that filet stuff around it.
The correct answer was macaroni and cheese, Keith.
Shit.
Failed. Okay.
What was that woman talking about? She was like, I'm cooking for Thanksgiving. What would y'all like? What's your favorite meal? Everyone goes around the room like, oh, I love this. I love that. And then she's just like, I'm not making any of that. It's terrible. Like
wrong. Mac and cheese. Okay.
Am I the asshole? Being Dead episode with Keith. It's a good episode, but it was a little too easy. That everyone knew that dude was the asshole.
I see. Right.
You know what I mean? I wish I kind of like him more when it's like 50-50 and then you got to like project. And then
yeah,
Keith
but you just
right.
want to hear Keith yell about it. It doesn't matter. There could be no other side, and it's still like I don't know. He's opposing a ghost in the room. It doesn't matter. It's hilarious that he has these like extra exaggerated. He'll show you like, oh, you thought that you were not on this guy's side. Let me super show you why you super are not ever super duper on this guy's side. You never will be, and you won't even like beans anymore.
And this guy was such an asshole that even Danny couldn't play devil's advocate.
Right. Mm-hmm. There was no, like, I like it also when it's 50-50 and someone kind of takes the other side, and then Keith, like, gets at them too. Like, oh, now you're getting some because you thought this dude wasn't the asshole, but guess what?
It's his role.
He's the asshole, and you're now the asshole advocate. So y'all in this together.
You're the asshole, I know.
Yeah, yes. I was really hoping. Yeah. I like him more 50-50. Nothing wrong with that. It was still funny. Take Your Pill, Psychopath with him. This was from like a week into the pandemic. Like, yes. It was like, so now that we're on day 5, what do you think is going to happen with this? She think we can go outside Saturday?
And I was like, yes, he was supposed to put this out a while ago. We just not getting this.
I love me some Johnny O'Donnell.
Did she sound dumb with any of her guesses?
Yeah.
No, she didn't really make a lot of, no, him didn't make a lot of guesses. Like, she doesn't do, like, here's my prediction. She's more like, this is our emotional state at this moment and what we're going to need to go through this. So it can't really be wrong.
Yes, it's like they always vibe off each other. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, I get what you're saying. And then they all just vibe off each other the rest of the episode.
It was a super chill listen.
Wasn't it, though?
I really did enjoy it because it got all, like, metaphorical and metaphysical and shit. And I'm into that. The Dave Hill show was kind of like a chill listen, but I felt like they were like so, like at first they're so calm that I was like, is this going to be a good show? Or is it like, do I got to turn this on 2x speed? And then Keith shows up and you're like, oh, nope, these guys are good. Mm-hmm. That now we're talking and people start calling in and talking about guitars and shit. And you're like, okay. We got us a show.
Yes.
But
you know what? You know what it felt like? It was like, do 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 the Dave Hill show, and now here comes our guest. Guest time. Guest time. Yeah. Who's ready for the rock? You go. Ah.
And it's like encore. Let's have some callers. What do you guys want for Thanksgiving? Wrong. Oh, so good.
Yeah, was into me at the end. Did you catch that?
What's that?
Into you?
I think she was into me. Lord. The one who had her jacket on backwards, if you know what I mean.
Oh, the one where you asked her. Well, I couldn't see it, so I don't know if you were picking up some chemistry from that. I couldn't tell from the voice.
I was getting eyes.
Okay. I believe you, man. I know you still got it. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. Well, watch out, Kyle. He's a hot commodity. You better lock this shit down. Husband him up.
Come on. Learn how to leg lock.
Okay. learn how to throw up some plan B. Come on. Take Your Pill, Psychopath, super chill listen. What I like about Johnny O'Donnell so much is that John always takes whatever the problem is one step further to having a solution. like see, the corporations are gouging the mom and pop businesses, and that's what's really wrong with the economy right now, and we need to come together, and that's why I'm ready to start a collective of people where all we do is trade. We're not going to barter. We're going to just barter and trade. We're going to trade labor, and we're going to trade expertise. So you can be a lawyer, and I can be a janitor, and we're going to, and I'm just like, there's no fucking way you're going to have time to do all that. Like, but I like that you took the step of solving it for me so I can just turn the podcast off like, it's fixed. John's on it.
Well, he had a breakdown not too long ago. And I like when he discusses what he learned, but you never know. Like, but he knows he learned something, but then brings up all the crazy shit that is a clue that he's going crazy. For example, he'll be like, and I learned, you know, maybe during the pandemic, I shouldn't have gotten these books from family and friends about 9/11 being an inside job. And I really pay attention too much into it. Puts my head in a bad place. Although it is an interesting fact that the libertarian overlords do see the stock market Senate starts at the Rothschild, leads to melting steel. And I mean, that's a fact. That's a fact. You can look that up and Google it. And I really am doing too much.
Yeah. Look it up incognito. Okay. Oh, man. I love him. That was the other reason people should listen if you haven't. At the beginning is in the future. So then the conversation is from a long time ago, but he didn't use the intro that y'all recorded when y'all were joking around on the show. He actually did make a new intro with like, so actually since this time I did have another manic episode. Mm-hmm. I did this, I did that. So it is kind of like, am I listening to the past before? If you take this episode when he was on your show, it makes like a complete puzzle, like an intake. Andrea's episode, she talked about it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can make a documentary out of this, is what I'm saying, y'all. Enjoy yourselves in the podcast land. Go listen to like four different versions of John
McDonald. He finds all the cues and hints in his own show. And he's like, here's something else I realized. This is out of order, but what I'm trying to say is.
He's like, I had this book over here, and that was a clue that I was going to have a breakdown. Well,
of course, we're, you know, inviting him for time slots on the marathon. And I'm wondering what people are hoping for, like a regular 6 p.m. Johnny O'Donnie, as you say, or a 2 a.m. shouldn't you be sleeping, Mr. J. Fudd?
Oh, man. Yeah, what? Yeah, I don't. Because then, well, are you like enabling him if you do schedule him at 2 a.m.? Are you? Is it now your fault? He's like, I was already having insomnia, but it's because you wanted this.
Yeah, I flip his schedule because I book him at 3 a.m.
Yeah, he's like, I had a breakdown later in my life, and it's really started with 3 a.m. Yeah, on January.
But it's like it'll match us because we're already breaking down because it's 3 a.m. and we're 12 hours into a marathon, haven't slept in like over a day because you got to get ready right before the marathon.
Finally, so
we're like,
him and Keith understand each other.
Yeah.
Keith's like, you know what, John? You're making a lot of fucking sense right now.
Keith's third eye is going to open up and then everybody's going to be on the same page. He's going to be like, ooh!
Now that it's 3 a.m.
Yes.
Amazon is a fucking problem.
Yes.
All of a sudden at 3:30. At 3:30, all you hear is ohms coming from the room.
Yes! But why is it smoking in everybody's room? Incense going to be burning.
I'm hearing the voices as well. Okay.
It is so funny because this is the first time I smoke and there's no smoking during the marathon because I'm in here in my closet and I have neighbors that might give a shit. Because like in the other building, there were more people or there were people smoking weed. So it's not just my here. It's like, oh, I'm just smoking again. Mm. So Xerxes is so sweet. He's like, we could put a small filter. And if you smoke like only at this time and if we close this, then you'll be fine. Our clothes will smell like weed, but we're not going to see anybody for a year. And I'm pretty sure we smell like weed anyways, so maybe we can do it. I'm like, okay, I probably considering this is making us too much of a pothead, but I can't help but go along with your story.
Is it edible too unpredictable?
Way too unpredictable. I couldn't do that to Keith.
Honestly, that might be good.
I've never had one. I'm scared because I'm like, here's a brownie. I would just eat the whole brownie if you don't tell me otherwise. I know nothing.
If like 2 hours if him to just started tripping like 2 hours into a 24-hour marathon.
Oh, yeah.
No, if you remember when we went on the cruise, Keith took some pills that he got at the Farmacia when we landed in Mexico. And then like 20 minutes into the show that we're doing live on a boat, I look at Keith's eyes and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And why isn't he talking right now? And he's just all of a sudden slowing down. I'm like, we're on stage.
You're like, welcome to the Dave Hill Hour.
Yeah.
And that's how it's done, y'all. That's how we do it in the business. Last week on Keith and the Girl, starting off the new year, right? Next week, Karen will be up here by herself.
Yes.
Mispronouncing all the names, giving you guys all the hits.
We should start booking like that. We should start like, you know, the less common names are booked every other week. And then the more common are booked for you.
Y'all got to get some Greek comedians. You know what I mean?
Let's bring back Economopolis. Good luck.
Oh.
Harry Condavolo. Let's go.
Okay, I got this one. Fuck. Clinton. Echo chamber.
Oh, so close.
So close, but so far.
Harry Edwards. His name was Harry Edwards. Thanks for having us, y'all. And we'll see you guys on the forum. Apia, regardless of anything that was said about you, remember, I love you. Okay. I hate to go out there on a limb like this, but I'm a big fan. So
I don't want to make things too mushy, but I obviously love you more. I talk about you more. I know you more. I hear you in my voice as I do things. I say, what would Apia do?
I'm not saying I'd do
whatever you would do, but I would ask myself, what would you do?
I've never wished your children dead. So I just
damn it.
Like,
I knew I was missing something.
That one might put me ahead. And shout out to my man Finger Lakes. because we also love the nigiri noodles, udon type noodles, when we make our ramen. So shout out to the chat room and the message board. And
chat room. We took back the chat room shout out.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Fuck. I was so close. Oh,
I won poker. I won poker last week. Okay, you may now close the show.
Okay. All right. Now we're out, y'all. Okay. That was it. Last week on Keith and the Girl.